Great God, we do thank You once again for Your love and mercy and for being reminded of the fact that You have removed our sins, put them behind Your back, remember them no more against us, separated them as far as the east is from the west, yea, into the depths of the sea. And when all is said and done, there's no more sea. Even though we believe it, and we know Thy Word teaches it, we find it hard to comprehend. And as our brother said, we need to be reminded of these things continually. Help us to not only be reminded, but even also, as was said, that we would repent and draw nigh to Thee, cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, and know that we have an advocate with You, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now, Father, as we look into our subject this afternoon, we pray that You would bless us to speak in a way that is honoring and pleasing unto You, that would be encouraging to the saints, and that we might indeed strive to draw closer to You. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you know, we've been looking at the subject of prayer and fasting for some time. And indeed, prayer and fasting is one of the ways to draw nigh to the Lord. If you study and look at the passages in the Scripture, particularly when prayer and fasting were put together in the Old Testament that we are made to think of, and some in the New, it is when the saints of God really wanted to draw nigh to the Lord. And what better way than to do that? We have looked at several things about this. We pointed out, kindly introduced the subject and talked about that everybody has a philosophy of prayer. You either believe that it's beneficial or you don't. We saw some passages where the Lord assumed that the Christian would pray and fast. And now we're looking at some biblical examples and what we can learn from those examples. We looked at Abraham, we looked at Jacob, we looked at Hannah and Nehemiah. And now we want to turn our attention to Daniel. Daniel. There are many, many good examples that we could have used and that we have totally left out for time's sake, or we'd be preaching on it till the Lord come back. And but we want to look at Daniel. You will remember a young man that was taken off into Babylonian captivity, and he lived over here under Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and then when the Medes and the Persians took over, he was under Darius and also under Cyrus. And very, very, very aged by the time he passed off the scene. A lot of things that could be learned from Daniel. Our first example is in chapter 2 of Daniel. Daniel chapter 2. This is when Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he called all of his wise men in and asked them to tell him what the dream was and interpret it. And they said, well, how can we know? We don't know what the dream is. You tell us what the dream is, and then we'll tell you what it means. Well, he couldn't remember all what the dream was, and he said, if you boys don't come up with an answer, all of you are going to die. And so Daniel found out about it and heard about it. And so, beginning at verse 14, breaking into the context of it somewhat. Verse 14, "Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom unto Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon." Notice Daniel not only answered, but he answered with counsel and wisdom. "And he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions." Now, if you don't know who Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah is, shame on you. You probably know them by Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you ought to know them by Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, because that's their Hebrew names that gives honor to the true God. The other name, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, gives name to honor to the Babylonian God. But anyway, I won't hold you too much responsible for that. But notice what Daniel did. He went to the king and said, "King, I'll tell you what it's all about." Daniel believed in prayer. Daniel stuck his neck on the noose, or stuck his neck out, or put it in the noose. But then he goes to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. He goes to his prayer friends, prayer buddies. You say, "Well, now, couldn't He just hear Daniel's prayer alone?" He could. But there is something about collective prayer. Remember, our Lord said, and I believe it's recorded in the 15th or the 18th chapter of Matthew, I don't remember now, "But if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, and ask of my Father in heaven, it shall be given." And so he went to his companions, that they would desire mercies of God, of the God of heaven, concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel didn't wake up and say, "Hey, fellas, I know what the answer is now." When Daniel got the answer, he glorified God. Here's something we need to learn about praying and God answering prayer. We should not draw the attention to the fact that I prayed and I got what I prayed for. The attention should be given to God, and the honor and the glory given to God, and that God is everything and we are nothing. You see, I believe too much of our prayer life is like that of what James said, that we ask, we receive not because we ask amiss. Amiss. We want it just because we want it, and we only want it just because for our own selves. The secret was revealed unto Daniel in a night. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Daniel didn't say, boy, I prayed and I've got it. Boy, I've got the wisdom now. Wisdom and might is God's. Wisdom and might is God's. Verse 21. And He changeth the times and the seasons. Summer, winter, fall, spring are not just acts of nature. God changes the times and the seasons. Daniel realized the God of heaven and earth. You remember in Revelation where the angel talked about the everlasting gospel and what was part of that everlasting gospel? The God who created the heavens and the earth. You take creation out, you have no gospel. You have a perverted gospel. He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and setteth up kings. You say, well, I thought we voted. We do vote. But somehow in the overruling providence of God, He puts one up and sets another one down. Men go to war, they conquer this nation, or they lose the battle in another. The victory is of God. See to whom Daniel is praying? You hear the God that he's praying? He prays this prayer because of God giving an answer. Nothing is said about, I prayed and God gave me the answer. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that have understanding. A man with his intelligence cannot thank anyone but God who has given it. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hath made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. But thanking God is a very small part of this thanksgiving that has to do with God giving them the understanding. Most of it is praising, adoring, exalting, and magnifying God. And if your prayer life doesn't do that, I would very much consider that it may be you're praying amiss. Most time we pray to get our cars fixed or... by the way, I just thought Brother Jeff just got his car fixed. I didn't even think about that till I said it. And it's nothing wrong with praying that. I'm not saying that. We should pray even to pay our bills and things like that. But if that's all our prayer life is about, it's very materialistic. It's not wrong to pray for all these other things, but if that's all we pray for, we're very materialistic. Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. Thou hast made known unto us the king's matter. So here we see that Daniel believed that God would answer prayer. Daniel prayed, and Daniel received an answer. Of course, it wasn't just Daniel alone. That's what I wanted you to see. That's what I wanted you to understand. And then Daniel goes in before the king. In fact, I forgot to write this part down. Let's read on here for just a moment. I want to point out something here. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said unto him, I have found a man of the captivities of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation. But he didn't find anybody. Daniel went to him. Arioch was a good politician. He went in before the king and said, Look what I found. Look what I've done. Don't you think I did something great? He didn't do a thing. But he took all the praise as much as he could. The king answered and said unto Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, that was the Babylonian god, glorifying, but art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? All right, so you're able to tell me? Notice what Daniel said. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, The secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men and astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. Nobody could show unto the king what you ask. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets. Wonder how many secrets God may reveal of us that we think it's only between us and God. And maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. God, Nebuchadnezzar, revealed this. I don't have anything. Most of us said, Boy, look what I've done. I prayed to God and He gave me this, and I've got this with God, and I'm close to God with this, and so on. Daniel said, No, there's a God in heaven that knows. And He's the one to whom the credit belongs. And, of course, the interpretation of it has to do with the Babylonian Empire, the Medo-Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. Turn to Daniel chapter 6. Now Darius is king. And a bunch of presidents and wise men and high up in government didn't like Daniel. And so they wanted to get rid of Daniel, and the only way they could figure of getting rid of Daniel was to find out something about Daniel and his God. And so they went in before Darius and said, Let's make a law that nobody's to ask anything of any god except for you to you for a month. Hey, I'm king, I'm pretty good. And so they make the decree. Darius kind of liked Daniel, but they didn't he didn't know that they were after Daniel. Verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. See, Daniel didn't follow the laws of the kings. But Daniel wasn't a rebellious individual. Daniel didn't say, well, I don't care what they say. I'm going to pray to God anyway. You see, I didn't read all the verse, did I? As he did aforetime. I think that's the way it reads. Yes, as he did aforetime. Daniel had always been doing this. He didn't stop what he had already been doing. And he didn't start doing something new because somebody had made a law that he didn't like. Sometimes we hear something and we say, well, I don't like that. And we start up trying to do something that we haven't been doing before, thinking God's going to handle the situation for us, when we haven't even really been praying at all to begin with. You see, God is not a slot machine. God is not somebody to be used and toyed with and played with. Daniel, this was his custom. Why was Daniel, why did he have a window open to the west? You know why Daniel had his window open to the west? It's because Daniel was a wise man. How do we know Daniel was a wise man? He knew his Bible. He knew Deuteronomy 28. He knew 1 Chronicles 16. And he knew when Solomon dedicated the temple as well. Because not only did Moses write down what God told him to give to Israel, it was reiterated when David put the tabernacle up and when Solomon put the tabernacle up, that if my people are in judgment in another land, if they will pray toward this place. And so Daniel looked towards Jerusalem. And as we've said before, all your praying should be toward the house of God. Daniel was confessing his sins. So how do we know that? Daniel confessed the sins of his forefathers. How do we know that? In another prayer of Daniel's. But now we're looking at this. And what should we learn here? We should learn not only that we obey the law of God before we obey the law of man. If the United States government tells us we must stop praying, we must stop worshiping, we must stop all of this, we must continue. If they kill us, our wives, and our children, Daniel was high up in government office. In fact, it said that he was one of the great princes of the presidents. Not of the king, but of the presidents. And he still opened his window and continued to pray to the God of heaven. He didn't start something new. He'd been on his knees already. Praying 3 times a day. He probably remembered the psalm that the psalmist wrote when he said, morning, noon, and night will I seek God. Morning, noon, and night will I seek God. Most of us probably have trouble praying 15 minutes a day. Once. Much less 3 times. This will give you the idea of the dedication. The dedication and the devotion of Daniel. You know the song, Dare to be a Daniel? Do you dare to be a Daniel? You want to sing the song without the zeal of Daniel? and without the desire and the intent of Daniel? Chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years, whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. You see, Daniel wrote down, I was reading in Jeremiah chapter 25, as Brother Tommy said this morning, we didn't have books and chapters in the Old Testament originally. But he was reading in the book of Jeremiah, and he understood that after 70 years, something would happen. He understood. He had been reading. He had been studying the Scriptures. Here's a man of prayer. A man of prayer not only just prays, he studies the Word of God that he might know how to pray. You remember 1 John, I believe it's 5:14. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. How are you going to know the will of God if you don't study the Bible? You'll just be praying amiss. You'll be drawing a bow at a venture. There will be no direction to your prayers. There will be no arrows aimed at the target. Only a wish and a hope that God might do something to your benefit. So here's Daniel. And what happened when he understood? He understood that after so many years were up, then God was going to return them back to their land. They were going to get to go back. And so he said, well, I'll just sit here and I'll wait, because when the time's up, we're going to go back. Notice the next verse. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Don't know whether I'll have time to devote much to this subject or not. But some people say that the sovereignty of God and prayer, if somebody believes in the sovereignty of God, they won't pray much. Well, here was Daniel. He read the Bible. He realized the years and how many it was, and it was about up. And what did he do? He prayed. If the sovereignty of God hinders your prayer, your belief of the sovereignty of God is wrong. And I prayed, verse 4, and I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, listen to his confession. O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the mercy covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned. He didn't say they sinned and here I am in captivity. And have committed iniquity, and have done wickedly, and have rebelled, even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto the prayers of the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. God, we failed you, and we didn't obey the preacher. We didn't give the preacher any consideration. We just did what we wanted to do. Your prophets were sent and they told us over and over and over and over, and we just, oh, they're just a bunch of men. What do they know? They're just a bunch of sinners like we are. That's right. James tells us that Elijah was a man subject to passions just like as we are. Elijah was a rotten sinner just like we are, but he was the prophet of God. There are no sinless preachers. But if he's giving you the Word of God, well, how do we know it's the Word of God? Get your head in the book and study what he says. If he's giving you the Word of God, you need to take heed. It's either God speaking to you, or it's just some rotten sinner that just come up with a good sermon that sounds good. One of the two. I'm amazed at the long-suffering of God with sinful preachers. But look at His long-suffering with Noah and Abraham and David and Jeremiah and Elijah and Peter. I mean, how many times did the Lord have to straighten out Peter? Verse 6 again, neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belong unto thee, but unto us confusion of face. You're right, God, but to us belongs confusion of face. As at this day, to the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. That's what we deserve. To our Lord, to the Lord our God belongs mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against Him. Now, I'm not going to read the whole prayer, because if I did, I'd probably try to make so many points that it might be beyond the time that we need. But you just read that and study it. See what God would teach you about you and your life of prayer. Now, he had already read in the book of Jeremiah that after 70 years they were going to go back. After 70 years. And the 70 years were just about up. And they went back. We read about that before with reference to when Nehemiah started going back. The prophet said, you're going back. Drop down to verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. If you read this prayer and didn't know the first part of it where it says that Daniel had studied in the book of Jeremiah and knew they were fixing to go back, you would think Daniel was praying this prayer as if he had no idea they were going to go back. And you know what happened about 3 p.m.? I don't know what time Daniel started praying. I don't remember if it said. But you know what happened about 3 o'clock in the afternoon? Verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sins of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before God, before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel. Angels are not feminine. Angels are men. Angels are always referred to in the masculine in the Bible. Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, around 3 o'clock. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. I don't know what goes on in the heavenly worlds with God and the angels, and the angels watching over us. I do believe I have at least one guardian angel. May have more, according to a statement in the book of Matthew, where it says their angels watch over them. But I'm here to say, you don't know what goes on between God and the angels when you pray. And if you think you have to know before you pray, then you haven't seen yourself where you are before God yet. And you have not the right spirit yet. For time's sake and all that we need to do, I need to stop. Because I don't want to cut chapter 10 short. We've got to look at Daniel somewhat in chapter 10. There's a great lesson to be learned there. There are great lessons to be learned throughout all this. Now, the rest that Gabriel was going to tell Daniel was telling him not only about the return of the children of Israel back here around the time of Nehemiah and Ezra and all of that, 70 years after they were taken away. But he tells Daniel about the 70 times 7 of when Christ would come. Those are in the next few verses. Later on in the end of the book of Daniel, God told Daniel some things, like Paul, and he said, don't tell anybody about it, seal it up. I think much of that, or I should not say much, I think some of that, it might be much, was said and given to John, and he wrote on the Isle of Patmos. But there were some things that the Lord told John. He couldn't write about it either. The Lord didn't want us to know. You see, it's the Lord's prerogative to show some things or tell some things to some people and not tell you. But it might be that if you studied the book a little more and prayed a little more and worshiped God a little more with the right attitude, you'd have a lot of wisdom that a lot of other folks don't have. I know for a fact, and I do not say this to my knowledge, I do not say this in pride or haughtiness, but I know for a fact of how it is to be weeping sometimes in my own heart because I know that I cannot tell some folks some things because they just simply wouldn't understand. I don't say that it's like the writer of Hebrews in the book of Hebrews. He said there were some things I'd like to say, but I can't tell you about Melchizedek. He said, you don't have enough understanding to say it. I don't think I'm in that category, but I do know what it is to be at sometimes to know some things that I just know the people are not ready for it. They couldn't hear it. They couldn't understand it. They wouldn't grasp it. And they think you were probably a fool for saying some things. I know people need to study the Word of God a whole lot more. Turn loose of all of these magazines and books and computer programs and television or movies or what have you. It's all of this stuff and modern conveniences and entertainment that keeps us from the Word of God. But it is directly proportional to your prayer life. Now, you can study the Bible just from a pure intellectual standpoint to have the knowledge. If that's so, then that too will affect your prayer life and you won't have much of a prayer life because you'll be dependent upon your knowledge and your so-called wisdom. We must have the spirit of Daniel, that wisdom and understanding belongs to God. All of the glory, all of the honor, all of the benefits, all of the praise is to God. If God happens to use us in any way, it should only humble us. Never puff us up. Let's pray. Father, forgive us of our sin, our indifference, our thirst for the immediate situation of comfort. Help us to love you with the whole heart fervently. And help us to know the joy and the delight, the peace, the happiness, the contentment that is found in reading and studying your word and spending time with you. And to know it in such a way that it takes all of the things of this world and realize that they're nothing. They only produce ultimate dryness of soul. Oh God, would you not revive us? Would you not open our eyes and heart and understanding for your glory, for your honor, grant us mercy for our sins against Thee. Grant us repentance that we might turn from the perishing things of this world and that we might draw nigh to Thee and to know what true joy and contentment and peace is all about. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.